Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'har Sinai lemar. Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai saying, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, speak to the b'nei Yisrael, v'yomarta aleihem, and you should say to them, ki sovoyu el ores asher ani noisin lochem, when you will come to the land that I am giving you, v'shovso ha'ores shavas l'Hashem, and the earth should rest, a resting for Hashem. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'har Sinai lemar. Rashi and all the Mufarshim ask the question, why in particular this mitzvah does it say b'har Sinai? Ma'in yishmita etzel har Sinai. Why is har Sinai associated b'davka with shmita? A lot of mitzvahs that are mentioned in the Torah, and it doesn't say Hashem said it b'har Sinai. It's self understood it was said at har Sinai. So why particularly over here, so Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'har Sinai lemar, ma'in yishmita etzel har Sinai. So Rashi says a pshat, which I'm not going to go into right now. But various svarim, various mepharshim, say different pshatim in the connection between Maimon Har Sinai and Shemitah. What is that special connection? The Chofetz Chaim once said that the greatest musr for Klal Yisrael and the greatest mechayah for Klal Yisrael is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down on Har Sinai to give us the Torah. That is the greatest mechayev. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meloi Chaloris Kevoidai. He is so great. He is endless. He rules over myriads of malachim, billions of planets. He rules over the entire universe, far and beyond what we could imagine. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He's mitzamtzem himself, and he lowers himself to come down on this little mountain, just especially to give the Torah to the Bnei Yisrael. That's a tremendous mechayev to us. Marshal Mahadavid Daim is like the Chofetz Chaim. This big and famous, powerful king. He visited this small little town with his entire pamali, with his entire regality, with all of the different things that accompany a king. That was a mechayev, a special mechayev for that small town, because he made them famous, and that he came the chvoidu v'atzma to this town to be mechaber the town. They feel a special achrayus to the king to listen to his word, and if they don't, it's a tain on them. Here, the king came especially down to your town, and he lowered himself. It's a special tain on you. So the Chofetz Chaim, that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down in Har Sinai, Moshe Kibul Torah Mi Sinai, that is the biggest mechayev to Klal Yisrael. Hashem lowered himself on Har Sinai. By Shemitah, there's always the worry. It's a pella, a person closes up shop for a full year. His farming shuts down. He does not know where his parnasa will come from. So the natural tendency is to be afraid. The Torah says, "B'chisayim manoichel b'ashana hashviyas." Where am I going to get my food from? An entire year I'm closing down a farm. That's the connection between Shemitah and Har Sinai. If you see that on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lowered himself to come down to Har Sinai to especially give us the Torah, that same HaKadosh Baruch Hu could lower himself and watch over you and make sure that you get your panosa. Mik Hashem Elokeinu HaMagbil Lashavas. Who is as great as Hashem who sits from up high and at the same time HaMashpili L'Reis B'Shamayim U'V'Horetz. He lowers himself to see everything that's going on. That's the connection between Shemitah and Har Sinai. Just like by Har Sinai you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He lowered himself just to give us the Torah. So too, you have a Shilas. Where's our Parnassah going to come from? That same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that lowered himself to give us the Torah, he can do the same thing when it comes to our Parnassah. He's Mashgiach, and someone that keeps Shemitah Taka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he assures him that it will happen. That's the meaning of Shemitah Yitzel Har Sinai. So that Beru B'nai Yisroel V'yamarta Aleir Ki Shavoyu El Oretz Asher Ani Noisim Lachem V'shov Soha Oretz Shabbos L'Hashem. What is the meaning of the word Shabbos L'Hashem? A Shabbos to Hashem. So Rashi says, L'shem Hashem. It means L'shem Hashem. It should rest L'shem Hashem. Ramban asks a question. The Pashas this L'shem Hashem. The Ramban is assuming in Rashi, it means you do it L'shem because Hashem commanded me to do this. So, check the Ramban Akasha. The Yom Tov, you find, we rest from work. It's also L'shem Hashem. Why by Yom Tov does it not say L'shem Hashem? Shabbos L'Hashem. It's a Shabbos Shabbos. If the Pshat is that you're resting L'Shem Hashem, and Rashi says like it says by Shabbos Bereishis, The Shabbos Bereishis, it says Shabbos L'Hashem. The Shabbos, we keep Shabbos as a Zecher that Hashem rested, it says Shabbos L'Hashem. Why is it not said by the Yom Tovim? Obviously that can't be the Pshat, and the Ramban goes off to say a different Pshat in Shabbos L'Hashem. The Mefarshim try and explain, what does Rashi mean over here in Shabbos L'Hashem? I'd like to say over a Pshat that it says in this form. By Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu when he showed him Eretz Yisrael, so einecha, lift up your eyes and see from the place that you're standing there. And Hashem showed him Eretz Yisrael. So when that Shechachim asks a question, usually when you look out at the land and you see it, you look straight ahead. You don't look up. Looking up, you're not going to see the land. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu, so'einecha, lift up your eyes? And Rosh Chochma says, a nifle de kipshat, that sona geya to us bizman hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avraham Avinu that to view Eretz Yisrael, you have to lift up your eyes and see it from a perspective of Shemayim. If Avraham Avinu would look out into the land and see the land the way it was, he would get very depressed. Because the Kanani was occupying the land. Strong, big giants, with no chance of conquering them. So Avraham Avinu could think to himself, what chance do my children have of conquering this land if it's occupied by the Kanani? For that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, so'einecha, lift up your eyes and see the land from a Shemayimdik perspective. Eretz Yisrael is not like all other lands in the world. All other lands in the world are run by mazalis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave up their hashgacha to different malachim, to different mazalis. Eretz Yisrael is under the close watch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Einei Hashem Elokecha Oleha, Meireishis Hashana Ba'an Akrusan. And Neil, if you look at it from a higher up perspective, then you know you have nothing to worry about. You don't have to worry about it. It's in my rishus. Right now it looks it's under the Kanani rishus. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. Look at it from a higher perspective. This is what Eretz Yisrael is all about. Pasuk later on says that you cannot sell land and that the sale should last forever. The sale only lasts till Yovel. It's a temporary sale. It's not a sale forever. Why? Ki li ha'aretz. The earth belongs to me. And you have to know that, look at Chua. In Chutz La'aretz, you sell a piece of real estate, it's yours forever. Till you sell it to someone else, or until the person dies, it goes over to his Yorshim. In Eretz Yisrael, it's only until Yovel. Why? Ki li ha'aretz. Eretz Yisrael is different. Mela. That's why the Torah gave us a mitzvah. Hashem gave us a mitzvah of Shemitah, Bedakin Eretz Yisrael, and not throughout outside of Eretz Yisrael. One would think, if the Indian of Shemitah is to ingrain Emunah in us, so let other people in Chutz La'aretz farmers should have to close down their farms. Maybe in businesses we should say the same thing. The Torah says it's a special din in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael belongs to Hashem, and it's under the constant watch of Hashem. So we have to acknowledge on that Shemitah, Veshavsa Ha'aretz Shabbos L'Hashem. We acknowledge the land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem said that in the 60 we can't use it, and in Yovel we can't use it. So it comes out, when Rashi says Shabbos L'Hashem over here, it doesn't mean it's time to do a mitzvah of Shemitah L'Shem Hashem. Every mitzvah is L'Shem Hashem. But there's a special din of Shemitah, Shabbos L'Hashem. We acknowledge that Eretz Yisrael is different than all other lands. All other lands can belong to Hashem, but they're not under His direct hashgacha. Eretz Yisrael, not only does it belong to Hashem, but it's under His direct hashgacha, Meireishis Hashana Va'Akris Shana. And by keeping Shemitah, we acknowledge He watches over the land, and He'll take care of us, even when we don't work. That's the Shabbos L'Hashem that Rashi mentions over here. Now this pshat, on one hand, it should be a tremendous, tremendous nechama to us. We see we're surrounded in Eretz Yisrael by antagonistic people that want to swallow us up. And Nachalus, the United Nations, with the international community, trying to take away Eretz Yisrael from us and limit our boundaries. It's a nechama to us. The land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He keeps it. You have nothing to worry about. Me'idach Gisa is a tremendous mechayiv. Because if it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the way to keep the land is by keeping the Torah. I mean, it's a pella. Eretz Yisrael has won so many wars. They're the biggest military power in the Middle East. Advanced technology, advanced ammunition, with all those things. And Afal Pikein, the little strip of land that they have, is still shaky in their hands and trying to take it away from them. What's the pshat? Because It's not with armies, not with kayach. It's only going to happen with my spirit. So a lesson that we could take lemaisa from Shemitah is that if we want to be able to hold on to the land, it has to be with Torah and mitzvahs. It has to be in a ruchniyistic way and not by just holding on to it with military might. The pasuk says, the ish ki yimker. Ish ki yimker beis moishav irchayim. If a person will sell a house, a dwelling place in a walled city, v'hoysa g'ulosay, he gets to redeem it at taim shnas mimkarei. Only until the first year after the sale. Yom tiyeh g'ulosay, his power of g'ula only lasts for a year. But the irchayim. He buys a house in a walled-in city, there's a special halacha, you have a year to redeem it, after the year you can't redeem it. Unlike a zdei achuza, if a person sells a zdei achuza, he sells a field that he inherited. So for the first 2 years he can't redeem it, but after that he can redeem it until yovel. That's by a field. But the yovel is just the opposite. By yovel, you can't redeem it. You only are allowed to redeem it immediately within the year. What's the reason for that? What should be the chiluk between Batei Yerichayma? And also, Batei HaChatzerim, if it's not in a walled city, if it's a house in an open city, it has the same thing as a field. First 2 years you could redeem it, you cannot redeem it, you know, you don't, I'm sorry, you could redeem it till Yerichayma. It's not like Batei Yerichayma. What's the difference? Why should a walled city be different? Why should a regular house be different? Where does the chiluk come in? So the Rambam says that if a person buys a house in a walled city, it's primarily for living there. And he wants the security of living there. That's why it's walled in. He's protected. It's very painful for a person if he has to sell his house because he's destitute. Terribly painful, and it's a big design. Terribly embarrassing. So Memela, the Torah had Rachmanis on him, and the Torah said, you have a year to redeem it right away. You know, during that painful year, you have to sell it, we allow you to come up with the money within the year, we'll allow you to do it. After a year already, he was living someplace else, he got over the pain, sort of like dissipates, but now already it's not so painful. After a year, you know, you don't get to redeem it. Zdei Achuza is more of an important thing on a long term, because Zdei Achuza is parnasa. That's something that you have to sustain yourself with constantly. Not just the bizoyim of getting rid of the field. That's parnosa. Parnosa is an everlasting thing. You know, you might get over bizoyim, but parnosa a person needs constantly. That's why the Torah allowed him to be able to redeem it ad yovel. It gives him a much longer period of time to be able to recover in parnosa. Open houses generally in those days were built al pnei hasadeh to be able to overlook the field. That was also a chelik of their parnosa. That's why batei hachatzerim, they're able to be redeemed until yovel. But batei arichayma, that was solely made to live in. So the first year you have the bezayin. After the first year, the bezayin passes. You're already settled down someplace else. That's not so important. But there's a beautiful machshava that I saw here from Rabbi Shmuel Chaevstein, the Slabotka Rishi Shiva. By Batei Arechayma, there's a difference when it's called Batei Arechayma and it's not called Batei Arechayma. If the wall of the city was built l'chatchila and then the houses were built, that's called Batei Arechayma. That's called the houses of a walled city. But let's say people moved into houses and the wall was built later on, that's not called Batei Arechayma. What's the difference between the two? I mean, they're living in a walled city. What difference does it make when you built the wall? Dr. Moshe Mordechai Epstein says, if the people only moved in after the wall was built, that's a sign, this is their dira only because of the security of the wall. That's called Batei Arechayma. The place was settled only because of the wall. This is Batei Arechayma. Without the wall, there wouldn't have been a settlement over here. On the other hand, the people moved in over here already. Later on, they decided, you know, we'll build a wall around it. So Ba'atim, there would have been a settlement over here anyway. Happens to be, now they want extra security. That's not Batei Arechayma. This was a settlement before you had the security of the wall. That's not called Batei Arechayma. It's not too much more to ask me. The Torah is called a wall. Ani choyma v'shodai kemigdolos. I am a wall, and my breasts are like towers. Chazal says it's a pasuk in Mishlei. The Gemara says this is referring to the Torah. The Torah is a wall that's making on us. So he says, I'm establishing a community. He says, if you first establish Torah there, you establish yeshivas, but the knesias and but the midrashes, and then people move in. That's a settlement built on Torah. That's the Bata Yarechayma of Torah. If on the other hand, you know, people move into a community, and it happens to be that later on they bring in a yeshiva, that's not the same thing. Then they didn't base their community on Torah. They built their community here. It happens to be that later on they also brought in Torah. That's not called surviving on the chayma of Torah. He says, this is why when Yaakov Avinu, before he went down to Mitzrayim, this Yehuda Sholach Lufan of Geishna. He sent Yehuda before him to Geishna. Why is that Rashi? To be Kaveya of Esatam. Shelter of the Kasha. What did he have to study yeshiva there for before him? Yosef told him, I'm going to bring you down here, you're going to have Batim Aleim Kotuk, you're going to have everything. Anything you need. So he could have gone down there first, and later on build the yeshiva. Why did the yeshiva have to be built there first? For that very same reason. Yaakov Avinu did not want the Bnei Yisrael to think, you can move in, and Torah will be an afterthought. No, the community has to be gebayt on Torah. First you have to build the yeshivas, first you have to establish the Kedusha. Once you build the wall of Torah, once you've built the framework of Kedusha, so then afterwards you could build the city. This is what Yaakov Avinu wanted to instill in his children. Historically, the same thing happened by Churban Bayis Rishon. 11 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exiled the Aseres HaShlotim. I'm sorry, HaChorosh VaHamasker. HaChorosh VaHamasker were 1,000 of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. And they went into exile 11 years before. At the time it seemed like a Meridiki tragedy. But the truth is, they were the ones that established the Bata Knesias and Bata Midrashes of Babel. So that by the time the Yidden come in afterwards, everything will be established already. HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka wanted it, not that first they'll come and then they'll start yeshivas. Look at Chilu the Bata Knesias, Sura, Pompadisa, Masa Mechasia, these communities of Torah were established for Chatchila, and only afterwards could the community settle down. We see that historically in America, that's really the way it happened. You know, there were Yidden living here in America, 1800s, 1700s. The Jewish community never really, really took off. It's only when the influx of Rosh Yeshivas and Admirim came in, and they came in L'chetchila Adas, to Shaf Torah communities, they built yeshivas, they built Bata Knesias, they built their chassidus up, that is when everything Taka became a bastion of Kiddusha. That was the Bata Yarechayim of Torah, but this is a Yisai. The Torah has to come first, and only then the community follows. State in Pasuk, V'chiyomu chachicha, your brother will become impoverished, umota yodei imach, and his means, his ability falters, and he's with you, v'hevzakta boy, and you should strengthen him, ger v'soysha, a ger or a resident, v'chai imach, so he can live with you. Now, the lashon of the pasuk, it says, umota yodei imach, v'hevzakta boy, and you should strengthen him. It would have been more meduyik if the pasuk would have said ve'hechzakta oisoi. You should strengthen him. The word ve'hechzakta boy is mashma in him. You should strengthen in him. What's the pshat? It would be more meduyik to say ve'hechzakta oisoi. So Skalana Rebbe says a meridik pshat. Skalana Rebbe says that just like you find by Torah that people think that if they support Talmidei Chachamim, so that they're supporting the Talmud Chacham. But this is just the opposite. The Oren, when Shevet Levi used to carry the Oren used to pick them up and used to carry them along with the Oren. We think we're supporting the Talmidei Chachamim, but the emissaries of the Talmidei Chachamim are supporting us. Glenn Rebbe says it's like that with the Ani also. We think that we're helping out the Ani, but the Gemara says, Yosher, Misheha Ani, more than what the Ani wants to be Makabu, more than that, Yosim Shaani. I'm sorry, Yosim Masha Balabais, Oisim Ha'ani, Ha'ani Oisim Balabais. It's a medrash from Yikra. More than what the Balabais does with the Ani does for the Balabais. Tzedakah Tatzel Mimaves, Tzedakah brings tremendous fusion for somebody. That's why the Torah, Kalender Rebbe says, that's why the Torah says over here, the Hechzakta boy, you will become the Chuzik through him. The Hechzakta Yisoyiz Mashma, you are holding him up. The Hechzakta boy means, it's coming to be Meramis, that through him, you are becoming the Chuzik, you yourself are being helped out. There was a Yid, Choshev Yid, that lived in Europe, late 1800s, Rav Avram Yitzchok Nevi'ezer. He was a Rav, and at the same time, he's also a Girish Yid. So he had a son-in-law, he was related to a Mayudik, his son-in-law, Rav Lezer Gordon, Zeche Tzadik Levrache, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz, and he was the Telzer Rav. It was his son-in-law. So they made up he was going to support him for a certain amount of years. And then after that, he would go and get a Rav on us. The amount of years were up. Rav Lezer Gordon continued learning. And Rav Avraham of Yais, he didn't say anything. He was willingly supporting him. After a couple of years, the rabbits had started saying, "Nu, what's going to be? I know he has to get it up." So the Rav said, "You never know who's supporting whom." Another year went by, and again the rabbits makes it to him. "You never know who's supporting whom." So on a 1 year, and after finally the rabbits said, "That's it." You know, she put her foot down. Lazer Gordon went out and got a job as a Rav. The day that he left the house, the Rav came home from davening, put his towels and tefillin down. He was nifter. The Rebbetzin said, went around saying, "I killed my husband." Now I understand what he meant when he said, "You never know who's supporting him." That's what the Skoran Rebbe is saying. It's not only by Torah, by Anim, it's the same thing. Yoyser, Masha Balabais, Yoyser Lo Ani. That's why it says over here, the exact boy, you will become a chuzik through him. The pasuk goes on to say, "Al tikach me'itay nesach the sardis." Do not take from him when your brother is poor and you lend him money. Don't take from him nesach the sardis, extra money when it comes interest when you lend him money or you give him food. You should be afraid of Hashem, and your brother should live with you. You have to be mechayim. He should be able to be survive with you. The Medrash in Yecheskel, it's a Yalkut in Yecheskel that says that when Yecheskel was mechayim Esim, Shevet Ephraim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to be mechayim the bones of Shevet Ephraim and Bikas Dura. Thousands and thousands of dead people. The Yecheskel was Mechayim Mason. They all got up, except for one person. So Yecheskel asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Well, sisters, how come he's not getting up?" HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Because this man lent money beribis. He lent money beribis, and I should be Mechayim right now." The Chazal say that somebody that lends money beribis, he doesn't get up, ain't no come, but Chiyas HaMason. What's the Mida Kineged Mida? What is there a Mida Kineged Mida? What does Chias HaMesim have to do with lending money by ribbis? The Torah says over here, when you lend money, you should liven up your brother, and Ani is Choshev Kemes. Ani is like a dead person. So when you give him money, you're being Mechayim. And what did you do? You went Lehebach. And you went, not only didn't you do a Chesed with him, but what did you do? You wanted to take advantage of him? And Adarab, you're killing him even more because you're taking a bigger bite out of him. That's the hepech of Mechai Achicha Imach. Memele, when it comes to be Mechai you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be Mechai the person by Tchias HaMesim. That's the Mida Kineged Mida. There was a mice in Posen, city of Posen, that there was a very, very wealthy Jew there that would not lend people money, only beribis. And when he was nifter, the Chevra Kadisha refused to bury him unless the family pays an exorbitant amount for a keber. And this family was an influential family, so right away they went to the authorities and they were meiser against the community. Reb Kiva Eger was asked to represent the Chevra Kadisha in front of this big official. So the official says, "It's not right. How could you ask such an exorbitant fee for anybody else? They don't have to pay that amount." So Kivega says there's a simple difference between the two. Most people, when they buy a kever, it's not a sale, it's a rental. They're only going to be there temporarily because they're going to get up by Tchias HaMesim. But this fellow let money beribis, he's not going to get up by Tchias HaMesim. So this is a sale forever and ever. They have to pay a lot more. And the Goyish official was the capital of his achievement. How much makabel is a chuva? So someone that lends money beribis is not come to Tchias HaMesim. It's not just a rental. For most people, it's a rental. Yes, Hashem, we have a moon in Tchias HaMesim. Towards the end of the parasha, the Torah tells us that if a Yid, Nebuch, he went under, and he had to sell himself to a goy. Because I'll say, how does such a thing happen? A fellow that lent money beribis, or he did business with Peyrus Shvias. He had unscrupulous dealings. The end result is he loses his money. After he loses his money, he's forced to sell himself to a guy. State in the Torah, Gula Tihila, even though he sold himself to a guy, Afal Pikein, it's possible for him to be redeemed. Either his uncle or his cousin will redeem him. Right? Other Mishpacha, or maybe he's Siga Yadai, maybe he will get the money. If there are a lot of years left until Yovel, he'll have to pay more. If there's only a little bit left in the years till Yovel, he'll pay less. The Chafetz Chaim says that the Velt asks a question. He says, how are we ever going to be able to bring Moshiach? If the earlier generations are like Malachim, we're like people, Chazal say. If a Rishonim Kibnei Yodam, Anu kechamayrim, we're like donkeys. V'loy kechamayr shel Pinchas ben Yair. We're not even like the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair. So the older generations, the Neviim, Anshei Knesset Hagdolah, the Tanoim, the Amiroim, the Rambam, the Vilna Gaon, the Chofetz Chaim, they couldn't bring Mashiach. So we, this puny generation, is going to be able to bring Mashiach. Zokta Chofetz Chaim, the answer to this question is in this parasha that we just mentioned. We are Nimker Loy v'Kechavim. We were sold to the Goyim. We've been put in Golus. We're under the rulership of Goyim. What does it say in the parasha? Im oid rabbis bashonim. If there are a lot of years left in the Golus, then you got to pay a lot. Im ad nisher bashonim. If there's a little bit left, then the payment is less. In the previous generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set a case for the Choshech. He set a given time. So in the olden days, when there was still a lot of years left into the Golas, the payment had to be great, so they weren't able to do it. There was a big payment, and they didn't make it there. But now, after thousands of years of Golas, and all of the Simonim of Ikris and the Mashiach are here, it's Ma'at Nishra Bashanim, so the Geula, the amount that it takes to bring the Geula is a lot less. Memel, it's easier for us to bring the Geula. The Chalal in a different Makom, the Chofetz Chaim says that the Kasha doesn't begin with. Why? Because not the pshat is that each generation brings the Geula on its own. It's a collective thing. Everything piles up, the Schusim of the Nevi'im and the Zekein Tano and the Amiran. It all piles up. So Adarabba, the later on we go, the more Zechuyas there are, we're just adding Zechuyas to what they already accumulated. Memela, it's easier to bring the Geula as time goes on. So I want to finish off with a beautiful word. So state, Es Shav Soysai Tishmayru, Ve Es Mikdoshai Tiro, Ani Hashem. You should keep my Shabbosos, and you'll fear my Beis HaMikdosh, I am Hashem. So there's three questions over here. Number one, what's Es Shav Soysai Loshen Rabbin? In other places it says, Zachru Shem Shabbos Lekadshoi, you should keep Shabbos. Why over here Es Shav Soysai Loshen Rabbin? Number two, what is the connection between Es Shabsoisai Tishmayru Ves Migdoshai Tiro? Keep Shabbos and fear my Beis HaMikdosh. And number three, why does it say Ani Hashem afterwards, at the end? So the Sefer Divrei Avraham says a beautiful pshat. The Gemara says in the Sefer Shabbos that if Klal Yisrael were to keep two Shabbosos, then Mashiach would come. And if Mashiach would come, for states if we're going to have the Beis HaMikdosh. So that's the pshat. Es Shabsoisai Tishmayru. If you'll keep two Shabbosos, more than one, you'll keep two Shabbosos, then you'll be zoich to the Beis HaMikdosh, and you'll be able to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Es Mikdosh Haitiro. What's going to happen before that? One of the time before we build the Beis HaMikdosh is to wipe out Amalek. As long as Amalek is around, the shame of Hashem is not shalem. But if you'll do that, Ani Hashem, you keep the two Shabbosos, Beis HaMikdosh will be rebuilt, and the Ani Hashem, the shame Hashem, will be shalem once again. Memela, you'll be zoich to all of these things. A good Shabbos, everyone.